change. I'm in like this.
Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to Hour 3 of The Truth with Sherwin Hughes. This is the hour that I have been waiting for. Because I believe in my heart of hearts that this hour will serve as a teachable moment, because there are issues that uniquely impact the Black community that do not impact other groups the way that we are harmed by them. And I say we, because even if you are a Black person that doesn't necessarily fit into these categories, having people in the community in which you live impacted by these issues does have some kind of an effect on you. At the very least, your taxes are going to go up because it's going to be some kind of cost associated with whatever this issue is. And I want people in this country to first admit that there are issues that uniquely impact Black people, because there's some people that want to diminish the racial categories. Like, oh, Sherwin, race is just a made-up concept. It is, but it's also very real and very tangible. And there are ways in which you can discriminate against someone, a lot of times based on their income and based on their geography and also based on their skin color, that can hurt that person and harm that person uniquely and intentionally. And if you are running for office, not that I expect you to fix any of these issues that target Black people, but at least be aware of them. And if you're not aware of them, you're not going to be a thoughtful policymaker. I'll use myself as an example. If I ran for office, a lot of my constituents are women. I may be unaware of some of the issues that impact women uniquely that don't impact men. And some of you can name them, and I probably can name a few as well. But what I would do is I would commit myself to listening to women and understanding where they are impacted in ways that I can't see. And I would deem those women credible because they're coming from a perspective and they have an experience that I don't have as a man. Side note, ladies, is it good or bad being a woman? Do you like it or not like it? Is it, do the pros outweigh the cons? Because it seems like it's just a lot. You can't pee wherever you want. That's for sure. When a woman pees outside, like think about the olden days, like back in the caveman days. A woman had to have somebody stand guard because a predator could come up behind her because she can't see. Excuse me, I gotta squat. Don't look, don't look. I gotta squat down. I can pee and stand guard. And if I see a predator coming while I'm peeing, I'll just run pee. You know, like I'll, you know, what I'm saying, oh no, a lion is coming, and I'll start. A woman like, no, I have to finish before I run. And the next thing you know, she's getting eaten up by a lion. So for that simple reason, I think it's worth it being a man. And being a man also, can I just admit something? It pays a little more. It does. Fellas, why are you still getting married? No, I'm going to get into the issues that uniquely impact Black people. I have a whole hour. Don't worry. I'm very productive with my time, but I got to just kind of throw this out there without anybody getting mad because I was thinking about something. First, let me admit that there are issues that uniquely impact women. And as if I was a male legislator or an executive, I would have to be aware of that. Be aware of the issues that uniquely impact different groups that you're not affiliated with. And you have to listen to them. And that's why when somebody is running for office and they're unaware of the issues that uniquely impact African-Americans, that's a problem because you won't be thoughtful in your policymaking. If I was a legislator, I'm going to interchange race and gender just for the purposes of making this argument. I would want to be a thoughtful policymaker in representing my woman constituents because I know that they're like child rearing and childbirth and pay disparities and sexual harassment. Now, I'm not saying that men don't get sexually harassed, but I'll be willing to bet that men are probably more likely to be sexual harassed on the job by another man than by a woman. Even though I had my butt grabbed by a lady named Colleen when I worked at Ernie von Schlitterhorn. And the only reason why it was sexual harassment is because she weighed 300 pounds and had a bad perm and really bad skin. If she was even remotely attractive, I could have worked with it. Because she was a gigantic big back booger wolf, I told her if she ever touched me again, I'd break her effing fingers. She was like, oh, Sherwin,
I'm sorry. I thought you liked it.
No, I did not, Colleen. Big back booger wolf. She rode a Harley Davidson, too. Just imagine that. She had one of them bellies where her belly was in two parts. Like, she pulled her pants up, and there was just as much belly below her waistline as there was above. It was a two-belly system. And it was not cool. And I was 19. Like, why would she want any of this sweet chocolate 19-year-old shirt? Well, I understand why. So women deal with things uniquely. Just like black people deal with things uniquely that are not, they're not impacting other people. So there's a term. It's called like, if I don't get it right, somebody will Google it. An adhesion contract or something of the sort. So where when a man and a woman get married, the man's responsibility very well could be protection, providing, and financial support for the family. Protecting the family, providing for the family, whether it be financially or with the house. And then his money helps to take care of the wife and the children. All of those things are enforceable by law. The money that he has, the money that he makes that provides a lifestyle for his wife and also helps raise the children, all that can be enforced by law. What does a woman provide? Softness, kindness, and let's be honest, sex. None of that is enforceable by law when they divorce. So a man enters into a contract with a woman with what he brings to the marriage is enforceable by law. Sir, if you're paying to help take care of the children, you will continue to pay to help take care of the children. If you made more money than your wife did and she got accustomed to a lifestyle, she is still entitled to that lifestyle that you created and made for her in the marriage. You're going to have to pay her alimony. Those are enforceable. No judge nor divorce attorney can make the woman be soft, be kind, and have sex with that man. None of that is legally enforceable. So when you think about it as a contract, because y'all are getting married because of love, and love runs out, you are entering into a contract where the ideas and the pieces and the tenets that the man is bringing is enforceable by a judge and by law, but what a woman brings to a marriage is not. It's a faulty contract for men. So here's what I say. Just get you a girlfriend. Get you a girlfriend and just love on your girlfriend. And if it doesn't work out, it's a relationship and ships sail. Sometimes that ship sails. Oh, I've had many a ship dock and take off from Lake Michigan. Many a relationship has sailed. Ain't nothing wrong with it. Because guess what? Another boat's coming into harbor. Another boat's coming. I'm scared to look at the YouTube chat because I might have offended somebody with that dose of truth. Am I wrong, though? What a woman brings to a marriage, and let's assume she's not bringing money. Some women do, but then those are going to be the ones who want a prenup. It's crazy if a man says he wants a prenup. How dare you? That's selfish. If you don't get divorced, you don't need a prenup. But if a woman is self-made, all of her female friends will encourage her to get a prenup. Girl, don't give him none of your money. You ever seen an angry woman?
Many.
Okay. Imagine this now. Imagine a woman who is already angry and then have that same woman who's already angry for whatever reason, have a judge enforce child support on her where she has to pay her ex-husband alimony and child support. You have never in your life seen that kind of anger. Woo-wee! I've met a couple of those. In fact, I know a woman right now and she makes hella money. She works right downtown. She's very successful. I won't mention her name because some of y'all have absolutely been to the establishment that she works at many times. And she manages like high level stuff at this establishment and is damn near broke because she's paying child support for two kids. And that's after taxes. Oh, she's so angry. And here's the problem. So she's a homegirl of mine. In fact, Denise Thomas knows her real good, too. Every time I hang out with her, I got to pay for everything. She's like, Sherwin, I'm short, bro. Child support came knocking. I was like, all right, player, I got you. I got these little drinks. Don't even worry about it pimping. I feel bad for her. Women don't like that. They don't like paying child support. But you got to take care of the babies. Yeah, they got some kind of weird custody arrangement where I don't know if they got the kids like it's split. It's ridiculous. So placement in custody is 50-50. But dude gets like $1,700 a month for two kids. That's
pretty nice.
Hell yeah, it is. Shout out to my fellas getting child support. Shout out to the men getting that money. And women over here getting mad. No. It's the law. Some you got to pay for these kids. Shouldn't have had them if you can't pay for them. What kind of baby mama are you? I hope she's not listening. Well, she's not. She's got to be working her ass off because she need every bit of her paycheck. She can't afford to listen to me. She's like, sure, when they child support. She made it seem like child support is the feds. Like, yeah, they got me, Sherwin. Child support got my paycheck. So what is that? That's $850 a paycheck? Ooh, that's nasty work. Our tubes are tied. She's like, I'm not doing this ever again.
What, having a kid?
Oh, yeah. She's paying for two. It's $1,700. And the oldest is 11. She got at least 7 nasty years of that $850. Assuming he doesn't go back and ask for an increase, because that's the other thing. If you get a raise, you have to report to the court that you got a raise, because guess what? Child support is going to go up. You can't even get it. They won't even let you breathe. And it's after taxes. So after the government gets their tax money, you're paying child support after that. You're paying child support on the dark meat. The government gets the white meat. Then the child support gets the breast and the wing. All you got left is a drummy and a half of a thigh. And you got to eat off of that for 2 weeks.
More of the story. Pull out.
Or either don't have kids, which people are not having children. You can also just see by the neglect of the children that are already here. Nobody wants the kids that are here. And people are absolutely having less children because it's too expensive. And schools aren't performing well. And it's just, and plus your kid can grow up and kill somebody. You ever think about that? And you have to think to yourself, if your kid is a murderer, you're probably thinking like, yeah, had I not had that kid, someone else would be alive. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, don't you ever think that way? For those of you that have a kid that murdered, you're like, oh, man. Had I not had that child, this family could have theirs. You know? It's not worth it, I don't think. All right, that segment is gone. We got a lot of things we got to talk about this hour. I want to discuss with you all the issues that uniquely impact African Americans, and maybe we don't need anyone to help solve our problems. We might be able to solve them all on our own instead of always looking for someone to help us, looking for a legislator or an executive or some other elected official to help us with our problems. What if we could solve our own issues? I'm going to take a break, come back. I'm going to give you the details of what the top issues that are plaguing African-American progress and which or any of those issues can we solve on our own without help from anybody else. The Truth with Sherwin Hughes will be right back.
The Truth with Sherwin Hughes returns after this on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. You are listening to The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
Do you own a business or represent a community organization? Be a part of the 1017 The Truth Family Fest on Saturday, August 22nd at the Riverside High School. We're currently accepting vendor applications and sponsors. Reserve your space by visiting truthfamilyfest.com. That is truthfamilyfest.com or email sierra.brown@milwaukeeblackmedia.com. That is Sierra, C-I-E-R-R-A.brown. I don't got to spell Brown, do I? Sierra.brown@milwaukeeblackmedia.com. Join one of Milwaukee's favorite community events, proudly sponsored by Educators Credit Union, American Family Insurance, Milwaukee Public Schools, and artists working in education, and also Ascension Healthcare. If I got to spell Brown, we have a problem. Do I got to spell Truth Family Fest? I just want to make sure everybody has the proper information. See you guys. Truth Family Fest. I guess I got to work that Saturday. You know, I don't like working weekends now. Weekends are Sherwin times when I do my self-care.
Oh, so you'll be there?
Yeah, I think I have to be there. I ain't going to be there the whole time now. I'm precious with my time.
Yeah, I feel you there.
You're going to be there too.
Am I on the schedule?
I don't know. Did the schedule come out?
I don't know. As far as I know, I will not be there. I'll be on my couch relaxing on that Saturday morning.
Well, then we'll bring damn Truth Family Fest to you then. We'll bring it to your goddamn house. Rick Banks says he's a proud Democratic socialist, and he says three black issues, racism and hiring and pay, housing assessment discrimination and bank lending. Reggie, the thing with your comments is you just type stuff in the YouTube chat that are irrelevant to everything on planet Earth. I can't read them. Like, we do appreciate you participating. Like yesterday, I was reading the YouTube comments in the Hughes Views 414 Evening Digest podcast. I guess I'll do one tonight. I suppose. It's too hot to do anything else. I guess I'll be home under the air conditioning this evening. So join me at 7 o'clock
on
YouTube. I'm sure you will. Hughes Views 414. We do a little hour-long digest. It's uncensored, and we take calls. Talk about the issues of the day, maybe to go over things that I didn't get to during this program. Or any information or news that breaks in the afternoon and the evening. I just randomly will pick a YouTube comment to read. And I don't know what I was talking about. I was going on about something. And Reggie was like, I like Raising Cane's chicken fingers. Why do people do that? Alan will call the show. Well, at least I learned something from Alan today. You can get an 84-cent ice cream cone. On a hot day like this, I'd get two of them. But you got to get a cup, though, too, because in case I don't like when ice cream melts. I don't like being sticky.
I'm a Ben and Jerry's guy myself.
Overrated.
Really? Chunky Hell, monkey?
Overrated.
Woo.
It's not custardy enough. I need my ice cream to be creamy. You know who actually has good ice cream, and it's not even real ice cream? Dairy Queen. Soft serve Dairy Queen ice cream is actually relatively low in calories, but it's so damn creamy because they put it's a lot of air whipped into it.
You know, like a cops guy or Oscars?
Hell yeah, I'm a cops guy. Okay. In fact, I would never cheat on cops. I don't even really care for Culver's because their frozen custard is too frozen.
Agreed.
It's too hard. Cops will get you right every single time. When I was visiting my dad in the hospital, I'd always cheer myself up on the way home. I'd go to Cops and give me a burger and I'd get a banana shake and I'd eat it in the car. Sometimes I take my shoes off and stick my feet out the window.
Cops is a little too greasy for me sometimes.
Oh, I like that grease. You know what? You know, you ever get a burger from Cops? I'm sure you've had one before.
Oh, yeah, plenty.
You know how, and it's not just Cops, when you get a hamburger, you go to a restaurant, they always serve it with a pickle.
Yeah.
You know why they do that?
Why?
Because pickles make you salivate, and it wakes up your taste buds so that your food tastes better. It has nothing to do with anything. That's what pickles on the side do. Weird. They wake up your taste buds.
I always give it to my dog.
Do you know why they serve? You ever have a fish fry before? Are you a fish fry person?
Yes.
I love me a fish fry, damn it. I'll fight somebody's mama. I'll fight your grandmother over a nice fish fry.
I know a really good fish fry at a hole-in-the-wall place.
Best Oof. Ones.
Yes.
Best. The places that you should be a little afraid going into is going to have the best food.
Yeah, I mean, this place I'm talking about, this is like kind of in the country. So this is like white country. So you go in there, you're a black guy walking in there. You feel a little uneasy, but they're pretty nice.
All right.
Especially if you walk in there with a white woman.
Want to do a show on interracial dating one day?
I know all about it.
You got you one now, don't you?
No, I do not have a girlfriend right now.
Well, you said you met somebody over the weekend.
Oh, yeah. I met a very, very smart, beautiful woman.
You said you were going to send me a picture of her. I want to see what she looks like. I want to know what your definition of beautiful is, because your definition of beautiful, it might actually be beautiful, or it might be like a five.
Yeah, she's beautiful. have to get a hold of her social media. How about that?
Do you follow her on social media?
No, not currently.
You better check that out before you take it a step further. You need to know how thotty she is.
I'm
serious.
I'm not against the thought.
All right. I know you got a picture of her. Don't hold out. I want to see.
I got a picture.
Just hold it up to the glass.
I have a picture. Let's see.
Is she naked? I don't want to see her naked. I don't need to see her.
She's not naked in the photo. Let me see
that face card. I'll let you know. I'm going to let Truth Nation know what kind of taste you got. She's probably Booger Wolf. But I'm going to tell you what. I would rather have a 5 to 7 that's smart and has a great personality than a 9 that's adult all day. The 9s are just for show. Was I talking about something? Oh, yeah, black people issues. Oh, no, here's another thing I learned. And we're going to get to the black people issue. Don't worry, I got time. So we're talking about fish fries. You know why they serve lemon with fish fry? So you can clean your fingers and our big back asses squeeze the lemon on the fish. Yeah. That is the original reason why lemon is served with a fish fry, so your fingers don't smell like fish when you're done eating the fish fry. But we let's put the lemon on the fish. But let me just go ahead and say this. Lemon on fish is delicious. But it can sometimes make the batter soggy, though.
Depending on the fish fry, some of them are extra crispy.
I went to Barnacle Buds, arguably some of the best seafood you can get in Milwaukee. I have that argument with somebody. And they have a sandwich called a grouper Reuben. And it's two. Hold on, let me see. Hang on a second.
Hang on, everybody. I'm looking at the picture. She's not bad.
I think the photo doesn't do her justice, but
she's what did you say about her butt?
I said the photo doesn't do her justice.
Oh, I thought you said butt. Does she got a body?
Yeah, she's a nice looking lady. Nice little yoga mama.
She looks kind of innocent. Well, she got a bunch of tattoos though.
Yes.
But she looks like she doesn't wear a lot of makeup.
No, not at all.
Yeah, that's you do.
That's what I like.
Yeah, she's decent. She's from Milwaukee.
Oh, yeah. River West person.
Oh, she's a dirty River West, and her feet are dirty, probably. Dirty River West. She don't shave her armpits, does she?
Maybe.
You like that? If somebody don't shave their armpits, you got to leave, sir.
Oh, is that right?
Oh, mister, get out of my house, man.
I'm not disclosing anything. I don't want to. Maybe she's listening right now. I don't want to put her business out there on Front Street.
She ain't listening. Oh, she don't shave her armpits. That's
maybe she's a hippie.
Maybe she needs a razor.
Yeah.
So she don't shave her armpits or her legs. I'm not gonna ask about nothing else because she don't shave that's the bare minimum. Oh, here comes Al calling now too. Let me get on my stuff here. Educational achievement. This is the highest issue that impacts the African American community. Educational attainment is arguably the strongest predictor of lifetime income, wealth, health, incarceration risk, and marriage rates and life expectancy. 27.7% of black adults have earned a bachelor's degree, and that's up from 14.5% in 2000, showing significant progress, but still well below the national average. Approximately 90.8% of black adults have at least completed high school. National testing continues to show large reading and mathematic proficiency gaps. Beginning in elementary school. Number two, wealth and asset building. Income and wealth are fundamentally different. A family earning $90,000 a year may possess almost zero wealth. Wealth provides financial resilience, college funding, business capital, retirement security, and inheritance. Research findings from the Urban Institute says that college education and entrepreneurship substantially increase black wealth, yet black professionals still accumulate considerably less wealth than similarly educated white professionals. These are things that impact the black community uniquely. Employment and labor market disparities. Historically, black unemployment has remained approximately twice that of white unemployment across economic cycles. Recent 2026 estimates show black unemployment is 8%, while white unemployment is under 4%. So employment rates, that's something that impacts black people uniquely. Family stability, the issue receives comparatively less media attention, but consistently ranks among the strongest predictors of child outcomes. Family structure affects educational attainment, childhood poverty, behavioral outcomes, emotional development, and incarceration risk. The Pew Research Center reports black Americans remain less likely than other Americans to be married, and nearly half of black adults have never been married. Social scientists generally find that stable two-parent households are associated with better average outcomes for children across racial and ethnic groups, though outcomes are also strongly influenced by income, neighborhood conditions, and school quality. Violent crime and public safety. Communities experiencing high violent crime often experience business flight, declining property values, lower investment, chronic stress, trauma, and reduced educational achievement. Victimization research consistently shows violent crime is concentrated geographically and is associated with race, poverty, educational disadvantage, and neighborhood instability. Number six, health disparities. Health inequities remain one of the largest quality of life challenges for African Americans uniquely. Major concerns include hypertension, diabetes, obesity, maternal mortality, stroke, kidney disease, and heart disease. The Office of Minority Health reports black families experience higher poverty and unemployment, factors that reduce access to preventative care and contribute to poorer health outcomes. So I'm listing for you things that impact the black community uniquely. Are any of these candidates for governor addressing any of these issues? If they are or are not, why and why not? And which of these issues can we resolve internally without needing help from anybody else? Housing and home ownership. Home ownership remains America's primary engine for middle-class wealth. Lower home ownership amongst African Americans contributes to lower net worth, less inherited wealth, neighborhood instability, and reduced retirement security. Housing remains closely tied to school quality, neighborhood safety, environmental exposure, and social mobility. Entrepreneurship and business ownership. Business ownership creates wealth, employment, community investment, and political influence. Black-owned businesses remain underrepresented relative to population share and often face less startup capital, lower access to credit, and smaller investor networks. And number 10, mental health and trauma. Exposure to community violence, chronic poverty, discrimination, and housing instability creates cumulative stress felt uniquely by African Americans. Researchers increasingly examine adverse childhood experiences, or ACEs, toxic stress, depression, PTSD, and anxiety. Civic participation and political representation. Political participation influences school funding, policing, transportation, housing, healthcare, and taxation. The Congressional Black Caucus Foundation identifies voting rights, workforce challenges, healthcare, technology, and economic opportunity among the major policy issues shaping black communities in 2026. All right, take a break, come back, talk to Al, and then give you some details on which of those aforementioned ideas can black people resolve on their own without needing help from any outside groups or politicians. The Truth with Sherwin Hughes will be right back.
The Truth with Sherwin Hughes returns after this on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. This is The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
American Family Insurance is a proud sponsor of The Truth. For almost 100 years, they've been committed to helping families protect what matters most, your home, your vehicle, and the dreams you're building every single day. That's why having the right protection in place matters. American Family helps you stay ready for whatever life brings so you can focus on moving forward. Insure carefully, dream fearlessly with American Family Insurance. Get a quote or find an agent at amfam.com. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, SI and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin. That's how you know you good, when you say the little fine print part real fast. Let's talk to somebody who I think needs their own radio show. Hey, Al, how are you doing today?
Tuesday, Funday, Tuesday. Hope everybody is having a wonderful day, and it's hot and it's going to be sticky. But what I wanted to say to you is, you said, are they addressing our issues? Hell no, they ain't addressing no black people issues. You know they only call black people when they ready to fight and ready to F. But anything else, they don't want to touch that because they want to do everything from a distance. I don't know why they do that, but I just say keep the same energy. If you don't want to talk about us, you don't want to reach out to us, hey, F you too, B. How about that? Also, if you want black wealth to grow, the only thing they have to do is work together. They both lead. They both inspire, motivate, and uplift each other, and they lead together. Ain't nobody better than this person or that person. Y'all lead together, which means when the man read the document, she needs to read the document as well so y'all both can be on the same page. That's what's effing us up a little bit. And some people sometimes get to feeling themselves when they start sniffing their own booty. But what I wanted to say to Xavier, I don't care what woman that is you're with, you make sure you paint them walls and you open her up like a wildflower, okay?
Can you repeat that? Xavier was talking to other producers in the studio. Can you repeat that advice you have for Xavier about this new woman he's seeing?
I said the only thing he has to do with the new woman is paint them walls and open her up like a wildflower.
Oh, yeah.
You also need to get you some toys when you're on the recharge level for about a good 15, 20 minutes so you can play with a little bit. Lick it and go back in there and play with it a little bit, and then you go back in there and paint them walls again, okay?
Oh, yeah, that's
all I'm going to tell you is give it the best, and you shall always leave. You shall always leave, leaving with two nuts.
Okay, sounds like a good plan.
You always leave. They got to guarantee you two nuts, not one. See, the first one, you're just getting started, okay? But the second one, you're going to exploit all the angles and parts of the foundation. You know what I mean?
I lay it down. I took some of your advice before, the black man's Viagra. I use it a couple times. Yeah. It works like a charm.
Yep, and you just make sure you use that jackhammer and beat that concrete up. And even if they say they take a little break, let them take half of a break and go back in. And you'll leave wearing a crown. Because one thing women know, if a man lands some good pipe, some of them will let him get away with anything. But a lot of times when a woman is on that man real hard and heavy, he ain't laying that pipe. He'd rather buy a pizza than paint and beat them walls up. And, you know, sometimes you might have to go down there and nibble on them lips a little bit, too. But don't do it too long because they're not supposed to be with no pap smear. And always use no teeth, straight tongue. You have yourself a good one, and let her wet your face up a little bit. Have a good day, everybody. Bye-bye.
Sound advice. Hopefully she was not listening.
We're going to get canceled.
I don't think so. We're like a political show / relationship show.
Politics is about relationships.
Exactly.
The reason why I talk about relationships so much, I think it flies over a lot of people's heads because they see them as separate. Communities are relationships. The people that we elect to represent us, those are relationships. But the foundation, the building block of any community is the interaction between individual people. Platonic relationships, business relationships, community relationships, and romantic relationships, because romantic relationships produce children, and children are the future of the community. It's all tied in together. So if you are not very well versed on the different kinds of relationships, then dare I say you may not be very versed in what community building actually is. And I don't like this war going on between the men and the women. I don't like it. Whenever a man says, you know what, I'm not going to take this, I'm not going to tolerate this, and I actually have boundaries, for some reason, for some women, that feels controlling. But a woman can do whatever she wants and say whatever she wants, and she always can blame her hormones as the excuse. You know that's fake. It's only like 7% of women whose behavior is actually impacted by whatever their hormonal imbalances are. So 93% of y'all is liars, but you use it as an excuse. Well, we can use it as an excuse, too, as men. We got the testosterone. And testosterone is a violent hormone. It makes you get mad. It also makes you a monster, and it makes you want to hump. We are cursed as men. Ladies, if you were a man for 24 hours, immediately you would understand. It really does feel like a curse. Because with you ladies, not that I need to give you a lesson on your anatomy, but yours is, it's packaged away. It's tucked up in there. It's, you know, all your parts are all internal. Ours is, it's out. It's hanging and dangling. And you got to do something with it. I got to put this thing somewhere. I got to put it somewhere. Help me. I got to get out of, the poison has to get out. I got to put this thing somewhere. And sometimes it'll wake you up in the middle of the night. It'll tap you on your shoulder. Hey, I got to go to the bathroom. Or, hey, where your phone at? I need to text somebody. Like, go back to sleep. I don't want to. I'm wide awake. Come on, Sherwin. Is your phone charged? And it'll just dial on its own. It's a curse. Ladies, if you knew just for 24 hours, you would be way bigger hoes. You're like, oh, my gosh. Swing it around, throw it over your shoulder, and walk out to the mall.
Some women are bigger hoes than males. Definitely.
I'm not going to disagree with that. Because they always lie.
I've seen it. Trust me. It's quite despicable sometimes.
The best lesson for a man to learn. Be the other man. Ruthless.
Yeah.
I actually even felt sorry, and I don't ever really feel sorry for other men, but I felt sorry for dude.
Why? What was happening?
She answered the phone.
Oh.
You know what I mean? She answered the phone.
Mid-session?
He was like, hey, and put him on speaker. She's like, hey, he called. She answered. Because her not answering is more suspicious. He's like, yeah, just wondering when you coming home. She's like, I'll be there in a little while. I'm just finishing something up here at the office. He's like, cool. Miss you. Love you. Miss you too. Love you too. I was like, you are cold blooded.
That's crazy.
Cold blooded. And that's not even, that's the tip of the iceberg. Because they get to live in like a fantasy world. And if they're being served by their dreams and by their fantasies, it doesn't matter who they hurt. Now, obviously, this is not all women, but a woman who is not being loved and touched and doted over by her partner, and her partner could be working his ass off, paying all the bills, providing a lifestyle for her and her kids, and it does not matter. If there's no excitement, if there's no mystery left, she will find it. And maybe it's the reality TV shows and this myth about love and about romance and this nonsensical, just everything has got to be so beautiful and so perfect, and men are here to just dote over women. That's not reality. She will go find it. But then that's the thing. She'll go and find it. She'll go back home, and dinner will still be ready at 6 o'clock. And you'll never know, fellas. Trust me. You will never know. There's a couple of hints and a couple of clues, but even if you confront her with it, her lies are not only beautiful, they're elegant, and they're backed up by several people. My friends is too stupid to lie for me. Hey, Johnny, hey, if Susie asked you, we was kicking it all night, all right, Johnny? Yeah, dog, I got you. Susie runs into Johnny the next day. So were you with Sherwin? Huh, I ain't seen Sherwin since last March. Dummy, I just told you what to say. Damn it. But I'll cover for my guys. I will lie the day long. I'll lie. Oh, yeah, I was with him. Well, what did you guys do? Went to the moon? Yeah, no, that's why he was gone so long, because we had to catch an Elon. We took an Elon Uber. No, I'm serious. We went to the moon, and then he wanted to get an 84-cent cone. I was like, oh, man, they got McDonald's on the moon. He's like, nah, dog, I want to go to that McDonald's on Silver Spring. So we went and got a cone, and then we went to the moon. And we had a couple of drinks at the moon bar, and then we hopped on the Elon Uber and came back. Well, all right then, Sherwin. You seem like an honest guy. Yeah, I know. The truth was, Sherwin, he was a be right back.
The Truth with Sherwin Hughes returns after this on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. You are listening to The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
Aaron says, yup, had that happen before. He asked her what she was eating. Woo! So, Aaron, you were involved with a woman and her man called, and the man asked her what she was eating. That's so foul. What else we got here? Alfonso Dupree says, I trust God. That's it, period. Scandalous is America food. I feel bad for married people. So sad. Okay. What else we got over here in the YouTube chat? I mean, nothing too raunchy. It is possible for African Americans to make substantial progress independently in many domains, but it is not realistic to expect that every major challenge can be fully resolved independent of other communities or institutions. The reasons are practical, economic, and institutional rather than judgment about capability. So black people, we need white people and Hispanic people and Asian people to work together and to build coalitions on our behalf so we can resolve some of our issues. I think I'm going to let this Dina Vosh just kind of play underneath because I like this song a lot. I'm going to let y'all hear the chorus, though, in a second. Which problems are primarily internal to a community and can largely be addressed through collective action within that community? Number two, which problems depend on broader institutions or markets? And number three, which problems require cooperation because they involve systems larger than the community itself? Areas where independent progress is highly feasible. So this is things that African Americans can resolve on their own without needing other people, other groups, and other communities. Promoting early literacy and educational achievement. There's considerable evidence that communities can improve outcomes through their own institutions, organizations, and cultural norms, including early literacy and educational achievement. Come on, Dina. You don't know nothing about this, Xavier.
A little bit, not them, but I know the genre.
Song's like 20 years old. Supporting entrepreneurship and local business development. We have all sorts of conversations about supporting black-owned businesses. And it's not, and I want to, and I do. I go to Mr. Dye's Pies once a week. I give me a slice, and I go give me a pasty. Is it pasty or pasty?
Pasty.
That's what I thought. But I heard of somebody call it a pasty, and I wanted to punch him. Expanding mentorship and professional networks. Encouraging financial literacy, saving, and investing. These are things that black people can do within the black community to help the black community without needing somebody else to come in and tell us or help us. Strengthening civic organizations like churches and nonprofits. Supporting stable family environments and child development. Reducing violence through community-based interventions. That one seems impossible. We need all the help we can get in reducing the violence. Building community development, financial institutions, credit unions, and business associations. History provides examples of black-led institutions creating meaningful advances despite legal discrimination, including schools and colleges, churches, mutual aid societies, insurance companies, banks, newspapers, hospitals, and business districts. Many of these institutions emerged during Reconstruction and the Jim Crow era, when access to mainstream institutions was severely restricted. These examples demonstrate that communities can exercise significant agency, even under difficult conditions. Areas that cannot realistically be solved independently. So these are some things that where we do need outside help. public education, public schools, finance, and governed through state and local governments, curriculum standards, teacher certification, funding formulas, and accountability systems are largely determined through these public institutions. Criminal justice, policing, prosecution, sentencing, corrections, and judicial systems are governmental functions. Community organizations can influence public policy, but they cannot control the systems. Housing. Mortgage markets, zoning, infrastructure, investment, insurance, and housing finance involve banks, governments, developers, and regulators. Healthcare, access to it depends on hospitals, insurers, Medicaid, Medicare, employers, medical schools, pharmaceutical companies, and public health agencies. Labor markets, employment opportunities are shaped by private employers, industry demand, technological change, unions, and macroeconomic conditions. Capital markets, business financing depends on banks and investors, and venture capital, government loan programs, and consumer markets. No government group, including white Americans, Asian Americans, or Hispanic Americans, controls all of these independent institutions. Throughout the United States and its history, major gains in African-American well-being have generally reflected both internal community efforts and broader institutional or legal changes and coalitions with outside groups. Examples include Reconstruction-era schools built through Black initiatives and federal support, historically Black colleges and universities sustained through both private philanthropy and public funding, civil rights movements, which combine grassroots organizing with federal legislation and court decisions, fair housing and voting rights reforms that depended on changes in law and enforcement. This pattern suggests that progress has often resulted from the interaction of community agency and institutional change. Social capital and networks. Social scientists often emphasize social capital, the value of relationships and trust in networks. Communities can benefit from internal networks like bonding and social capital, which strengthen solidarity and mutual support, and external networks, bridging social capital, which connects people to jobs, investment, education, and political influence. Research generally finds that both forms contribute to upward mobility, strong internal cohesion without external connections can oftentimes limit access to opportunities, while external connections without internal trust can weaken community resilience. The economic reality: the African-American population comprises roughly 14% of the U.S. population and participates in a highly interconnected national economy. Businesses owned by Black entrepreneurs typically serve customers of many backgrounds, employ workers of multiple groups, obtain financing from mainstream financial institutions, and operate within national supply chains. Similarly, Black workers are employed across organizations that serve the broader public. Economic independence, in the sense of complete separation, is therefore neither typical nor necessary for Black prosperity. Many of the issues discussed, including education, funding, transportation, taxation, healthcare, environmental regulation, and criminal justice, are determined through the democratic processes involving multiple constituencies, coalition building, and cooperation amongst groups. Join me tonight at 7 o'clock. We'll be live on Hughes Views 414, and we'll talk about more issues of the day. Until then, have a good one.